morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem. How you doing on this fine Tuesday? Can you believe it's already April 21st? Yes, indeed. 7:06 in the morning, hanging out with you. Thank you for tuning in today. KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio. I'm Stacy Ann, reminding you to follow us on Facebook at KSLM Radio with news that you can use. You can stream online as well at KSLM.news. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use. As we look at the area headlines today, brought to you by Bill Sunderland with Country Financial, Salem. The city of Salem offers a map of downtown takeout food and parking options. You can now look at the interactive map by going to the City Map Downtown Resources page. You just go to cityofsalem.net and they'll show you where you can go and you can have that drive up takeout option. The to-go mapping project was designed to support our downtown food and beverage business during the governor's order of staying at home, stay healthy. The app is a simple resource to locate businesses that are offering to-go services. So just go to thecityofsalem.net and download your app today. Also here in Salem, a mobile unit has launched to assist Salem patients. A team of five physicians and one nurse practitioner, mostly from small independent medical practices here in Salem, have partnered together to participate in, along with the Salem Fire Department and Falk Ambulance, to provide needs. Nowadays, most doctors are only doing teleconferencing, said Dr. Ronald Palm, with All Star Health Direct Primary Care, especially during a time like this. People want to see someone face-to-face. Having a doctor examine you really puts a lot of minds at ease. And also, looking at our numbers for COVID-19 for the state, of course, I want to remind you this is numbers as of yesterday because they renew them, about 11 or so each and every day in the morning. And currently, 75 Oregonians have died to COVID-19. There have been over 40,045 tests given since January 24th. Out of them, 1,956 tests were positive. In an effort to bring encouragement, education, and news that you can use, here in my morning show, I want to connect with local community leaders and people and organizations that are impacting lives and making a difference. And certainly that is the case in my life with this organization and this leader. Way back in the day, of course, you know, I've shared with you that I am from Salem, graduated from high school, moved here when I was 10, and moved from Southern California, like so many, moved in from California, right, with my dad having a dream to have his own business. And when I was told we were moving from California to Oregon and maybe going to have a little hobby farm, one of the things my dad told me was I could have maybe a horse and we could have some chickens and a goat. And what 10-year-old wouldn't be thrilled about a move? You know, I have visions of Little House in the Prairie in my mind, moving up to Oregon and having my own horse someday. Well, that never ever really, we did have the little hobby farm, but as we looked at the expenses, horses are quite expensive, and that never really happened. But being innovative as I am, I figured out and found ways to get as close to a horse as I could in my early years. And one of them was being invited to a camp, a horse camp. In seventh grade, I was invited by my friend Stephanie Catlett to a horse camp, Canyon View Horse Camp. And I was so thrilled to be able to go there, and I learned anything and everything about horses. But moreover, in that camp, because of their foundation and their love of the Lord and their foundation, which we'll get into that in a little bit, my life was impacted and changed, and the direction of my life completely changed by that. And I'm so thrilled to be able to have John Walker in the studio from Canyon View, and I'm going to share a little bit about him. And I love his little bio, and he's got a good sense of humor. When I asked him for his bio, he wrote, "I began life at an early age," like most of us, right? I was born in the Silverton Hospital, grew up in Mount Angel, went on to graduate from Oregon State University, and completed two-year Canyon View Bible College program. After he graduated, he worked there in the summer during the camp program and was hired full-time October 1st, 1979. Initially hired as a bookkeeper, then maintenance, Bible and New Testament Greek teacher, ooh, that's good to know, and as his ministry grew, so did less maintenance, and he had more time in the office, more time teaching. He's just become the executive director March 1st, 2020. He's also the pastor of Salem Bible Church near the corner of Center Street and Lancaster Drive. So, Mr. John Walker, thank you for being in the studio with me today. What a wonderful day it is.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
It's so exciting to have you here, and I have to say, knowing about Canyon View and looking at the core values and what the purpose statement here is, it's a Bible teaching place. It really is, to get people equipped. And it says here, the purpose of this corporation shall be to engage in Bible teaching, Christ-centered ministry by means of broadcasting, literature camps, campus work, and allied religious meetings and missionary work. Canyon View will be a Christ-centered Bible teaching ministry dedicated to edifying, equipping, evangelizing the people of our communities by lovingly communicating the truth of the gospel. And looking through the history, and of course we can find this on the website, looking through the history, it's really interesting that way back in 1952, of course we know KSLM is the oldest radio station in Salem. You may or may not, our listeners may or may not know that, but it is. It's the oldest radio station. And back in 1952, with the Bible Hour on KSLM radio station here in Salem, their purpose was to educate via radio and have a teaching program. That's pretty amazing.
Yep. It's kind of come full circle. It's that was Dr. Campbell's, Ernie Campbell. He was, his goal was to teach the Bible verse by verse.
Mm-hmm.
And from the Greek New Testament, as he, it was his major when he went through theological seminary. And he, one of the ways he thought was best at that time was the radio. And there's many, you know, many ministers and men of God had radio broadcasts for years. I know J. Vernon McGee has passed on, but his radio broadcast is still being broadcast daily.
And it's really interesting how radio, back in the day, that was the medium.
That was.
Most people, way back when, right, they all circled around their radio before, even more so than the TV. And then it transitioned to the TV, and now it's on our phone in our hand, right, watching YouTube videos and things like that. But media has a powerful impact on lives. And so then that moved into the camping. It went from the radio and the Bible teaching. How did it evolve into a camp program?
Well, Dr. Campbell and his wife, out of the Salem Bible Church, were doing Royal Rangers and Pioneer Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to get the kids out of the city, even though the city wasn't that city-fied, if you will,
right,
back then. But they started looking for property. Every Sunday afternoon, Ernie would take his family for a drive,
mm-hmm,
and they would go around looking for places to possibly purchase and develop a camp at. And so they, as one of their drives around, they went out into the Silverton area and found this property. And recently there was a young man who's been bringing his family to our family work camp that we have over Memorial Day weekend,
mm-hmm,
and he told me that his grandfather had considered buying the same property.
Wow.
And he decided not to, and that's allowed Ernie actually to buy the property.
Incredible.
And original, and now we have about 90 acres of property that we use for all of our different ministries that we have there at Canyon View.
And so you have the horse camp, like the one I went to, is, mm-hmm, one element of the camping that you do. Tell me about the different types of camping you have, and it's not just the summer. Summer's your biggest time, but all,
correct,
year round. Give me a picture, a word picture of what that looks like.
Well, the largest program as far as numbers go is our day camping program.
Mm-hmm.
And we work with local churches from the Silverton, Salem area. And we have over 1,000 children coming in the summer, somewhere around 1,200 or so. And they come out for 5 days and do all different kinds of camp experiences, as well as we have Bible study twice a day during each day.
That's awesome. And then you do, so you do the day camps, and yep. then what else do you have?
We also have other overnight camps that we run ourselves. We have an adventure camp mm-hmm. where they do all kinds of outdoor activities. They do airsoft. We have a zip line, and Ooh. They do shooting targets as they're going on the zip line.
Oh, my.
With airsoft. So it's quite the kids really get a kick out of that. We have a new element that we just put in this year. I call it the big swing, but I think we've renamed it, but I haven't remembered the new name yet. And it's basically where they pull someone up 50 feet up in the air and they just swing.
Oh, my.
And I was one of the first people on it. And I tell you, it is an experience you've never had before. If you ever want to feel weightless, try that. And it's quite unique.
Does it feel like you're flying more or less, like you're flying through the air?
You are. And you're just going. And it's like it's the biggest Tarzan rush you'll ever get.
Is it something that I have helped over the years in mm-hmm. what's called Young Life Camp yep. and up in Malibu? They have something, I think, I'm picturing in my mind, there's like three of us on a seat, and you pull the whole seat back, and yep. then you release it. But this one went like over the cliff, was nothing there on the, mm-hmm. looking down. So it was probably lots of energy and your heart's racing and yep. all of that. So this similar experience.
Very
here.
Similar. Mm-hmm. Definitely my heart was racing.
Yes.
And so especially when you get to the top of that first arc and you're so high up in the air and you're looking down and the people are small and you're thinking, what did I think?
How did I get here? This, yeah. Yes. What was I thinking? Yes. Exactly. And so that's more of the adventurous side of things.
Yes.
What else do you have?
Then we also have our wilderness camp. Mm-hmm. Where we have the kids live in teepees, mm-hmm. and they're out where there's no electricity
Whoa.
And no running water. They have to bring the water in every day. And so it's they learn all kinds of outdoor skills, mm-hmm. and it's a unique adventure for them. And we have 3 weeks of that and for boys. And then we also have an overnight boys and girls camp. So it's for those who are ready to go from day camp to something else a little bit more.
And what's your ages? What's the earliest someone can go to camp at Canyon
Day View? Camp starts at age 6, mm-hmm. those going into the first grade. Mm-hmm. And then overnight camps start at age 7, and then horsemanship camp starts at age 8.
So in the course of a summer, you could see how many kids in your camping system?
Somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000.
Incredible. So that's an important part. A lot of kids impacted. Mm-hmm. And you're running these camps at the same time, or is it separately? How does that work?
Well, they're kind of in separate areas mm-hmm. of the camp. We have our horsemanship camps are in one area. Then we have our what we call our main camp, and that's where we run our overnight camps, as well as we ran out to different Christian groups that
okay.
run their camps. And then we have our day camp area.
Excellent. Well, when we come back, John, we're going to dive into more the core of camping and why it's so instrumental to have kids involved, everybody, even adults involved in camping. You're listening to KSLM, Reliable News Talk Radio, news that you can use. John Walker hanging out with me, Stacey Ann, on this wonderful Tuesday. We'll be back after this.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning.
Good morning, Salem.
Good morning.
Happy Tuesday to you. As we continue on, you're listening to KSLM, Reliable News Talk Radio. I'm Stacey Ann. It's 7:22 in the morning, and our weather today is going to be partly cloudy. Temperatures a little cooler than yesterday. Boy, yesterday was a beautiful day. Had an opportunity to enjoy some of the sun rays right there in my own front yard. It was great. Today will be a little cloudy, but, we're in that season where from each day it might vary a little bit. But right now here at the KSLM studios, 49 degrees. I've got John Walker here with me, and we're talking about camping. And this particular camp is pretty significant to me, as I shared in the first segment, that Canyon View Camp really impressed my heart. I was in a seventh grade and invited to go to horse camp by my friend Stephanie, and my life was really impacted by Canyon View and their horse camp program, in that it's a foundation program. It pulled me away from, at that time, you know, in the 80s, a busy life, right? And seventh grade, as much as it could be at seventh grade, but it pulled me away, and it gave me an opportunity to see life from a different perspective. And you have a camp counselor who's a great influence in your life, but the way that Canyon View is set up, it's biblically based. It has a foundation of faith, but it's non-intrusive. It's in a way that this is, hey, think about this, and these are things to think about. And it introduced the concept of prayer to me, and it introduced, which seeds of faith had already been planted in my heart when I lived in California, the local church, the little Lutheran church down the corner that I went to Vacation Bible School. There were already seeds of faith, but I was not raised in a Christian home. I was not raised to go to church. I was not raised that was a value at that time. And so this is something that was really pretty interesting to me, John, to learn how, what is this and what is a Bible, really? I'd never really been exposed to. I'm sure we had one somewhere growing up in the corner, you know, some family heritage Bible, but I'd never really knew about it. And it really opened up my eyes, and it gave me hope. And that middle school years are very, very tough. It was tough. I'd moved in fifth grade. I went to one school in fifth grade, went to another school in sixth grade, went from Bush Elementary School to Shirley Elementary School, and then I'm in middle school at Judson. And it's your identity, all of those things, all the peer pressures, all of that going on, and then your stuff going on at home, and just a lot of change, a lot of transition, and a lot of not knowing where to get answers. And it was such a refuge to me. The camp was such a refuge at a time that I really needed it, and it really showed me, and it showed me that I can go to Creator God and be in creation and see that there is something so much bigger, and there is a plan. And I love how you all put that together in a way that it's an inviting to kids. It's non-intrusive. Talk to me a little bit about the foundation of camp and why camping is so very important.
Camping's important because it gets you out of, like you said, out of your normal routine. And that change can make a big difference in your life. And one of the things that we do, especially now, is we don't allow kids to bring phones or video or audio things. Mm-hmm. Just it's the idea of getting away, getting back to nature, experiencing nature and what the creation that God made for us to enjoy. And it just gives people an opportunity to experience something different, and to learn to get along with other people, and to meet new people, and make new friends, and have different and new experiences they wouldn't normally have on their own. And one of the things that I really enjoyed about the horsemanship camp, which one of the reasons I'm really a supporter of our horsemanship program, is that kids can make a connection with a horse that they maybe won't make with another human being, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, just their personality and how they're hardwired. And so I really like how the horses really affect a person, because when you're dealing with a horse, you just can't make it do what you want. You have to work with the horse. Mm-hmm. You have to know how the horse works and work with it. And also, as you were sharing earlier, how you learned how to groom the horse and saddle the horse, mm-hmm. and pick the hooves and all those things you have to do, clean the stall and all those things, and caring for the horse. And so it's, you get your focus off yourself and onto something else and someone else, or in this case, a horse. Mm-hmm. And it can really make a difference. And I've seen how much it's personally, how lives have changed through the ability of connecting with a horse. And then eventually, you said, you even mentioned the counselor that made a difference. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we emphasize is we do teach the Bible. We're not a high-pressure thing. We're not forcing people. We're not saying, oh, you got to make a decision now, kind of a thing.
Right.
It's, we really want them to think about it. It's between them and God, and that we believe God is the one who is working in each person's life. And that's one of our jobs, is to plant those seeds of faith and to let God do his work in each individual person.
And that really is what happened in my life. I can testify that it stirred enough and it showed me that there is a spiritual part of who I am and that I have a hunger for a purpose and there's like a hole in my heart. And it really got me thinking and seeking and wanting to know more. And it opened the door and allowed me that growing up in the Roberts area of Salem, mm-hmm. right next door to us was a little country church. Mm-hmm. And within about a few months to maybe a year later, our pastor moved in with his daughter who happened to have a horse. Uh-huh. And now suddenly I know a little bit about horses, you know, and you can just see how God opened the door. And then I started going to Bible study. And that's when I really made that affirmation of faith and that decision to walk in faith. And it's a process for all of us, no matter if we're 5, 6, 13, 50, 65, we all have to come to this realization that we are spiritual beings having a human experience, and how we decide that for us, it's free will. Mm-hmm. And God allows us to have that decision, how we're going to walk that out. But what I love about your program as it planting those seeds, and in my experience, my testimony is because of what has done that happened in my life, so many lives have been affected. My family, my parents, you know, all of them are walking in faith now not because of me, because of what the Lord did in me through that. And your camp planted seeds, and someone probably helped with a scholarship because I know I paid partial. Mm-hmm. I paid my part, but I qualified for some sort of help, mm-hmm. and assistance. I worked, I babysat, I paid my way at that time. And there are other kids who are wanting to go to camp, but we're going to talk about that when we get back, how we can plant in other kids' lives and make a difference, even this summer, right, John? We'll be back right after this. You're listening to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio, with news that you can use, talking with John Walker, director of Canyon View Camp.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day this morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in on this Tuesday. It's 7:35 in the morning. I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. And we are hanging out with John Walker today from Canyon View Camp. And John, it's such a pleasure to have you here and talking about camping and talking about how important it is and how important. I'm kind of selfish a little bit this morning. I'm so excited to connect with you because Canyon View was instrumental in my life. And the values and the conservative mindset I have today is because I was introduced to Creator God, and I got in the Word of the Bible, and as I started reading, I realized that there's important things to stand for, and my whole worldview, and my conservative worldview lines up with that, and your camp was instrumental in that. And it's kind of interesting to know that you were there. You were probably in maintenance, or maybe, I don't know, teaching Greek. I don't know what you were doing.
Probably
back
signing
then.
You up for camp.
Probably signing. Oh, that's what you probably do. You're probably doing the administrative part of it. But all these years, the Lord has allowed you to stay there to where you were just promoted as the director, mm-hmm. the 1st of March, right in the middle of COVID-19 and all these things that are going on. And I know, having worked in my background in nonprofit management, been in ministry things, I know how these kinds of situations. I think of the 2008 economic collapse, in a sense, in the housing market, and how all the donors all of a sudden just held on to their money. And running a nonprofit organization at the time, it was very difficult to get through that season. And here you are. Oh, you're the executive director. Hello. During this time, talk to me a little bit about how the camp is funded, because certainly the cost of going to camp, you know, whatever the registration is and for that week, is only a part of what the actual real hard costs are to keep the camp going, keep it open, keep staff going, and all of that. How do you get your funds to keep it in operation?
Well, we have the combination of the fees that we charge, mm-hmm. plus we have donors who donate several on a monthly basis, some we do occasional basis. And then we also, every year, we have a fundraising banquet in November.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, we're going to be in Salem at the spinning room at the Willamette Heritage Center.
Oh, that sounds fun.
And so that's in the second Thursday of November.
Okay.
And that's when we're planning on having it. And it's a big shot in the arm for our ministry. And we fund a lot of one of the things that people can donate is to donate towards camp scholarships
mm-hmm.
for the kids who are not able to pay for the whole amount, or they can pay for some of it. And so we try to be wise in distributing that money and making sure that we often don't give full scholarships to kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because we want them to have, if you will, pardon the expression, some skin in the game.
Yes.
We want them to be able to put some, like you said, you know, you're babysitting.
Yes,
to raise.
You own it. You appreciate it
more when you put something into it yourself. And so that's one of the things that we like to have the people participate in.
Oh, I love that. And the cool thing about where we're at now in my life, you know, we can come alongside families that don't have the money. Maybe they have three or four kids and they want their kids to be in camp, and they have some money, but they don't have to pay for all of them. And how do you send one and not send the others? That kind of thing. And here we can do something. Even some, I've heard people say, well, I'm getting a stimulus. I really don't need it because I'm good. I'm still working from home, or I've got a plan, and so I'm all right. You know, this might be a really great place, donating part of your stimulus to help support a student, you know, who it could be life impact. Life-changing like it had been for me. I think it's making the legacy continue on. The camp was founded how many years ago?
The camp property was purchased, I believe, in about 1963 or 64.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and so that's when it started. It started pretty small, just like for church picnics and mm-hmm. everything. And then Ernie Campbell's daughter, Nancy, loved horses, and she started acquiring these horses. Well,
mm-hmm.
it kind of became too much for the family to support all these horses and everything. So Ernie said you needed to figure out a way to pay for the horses. And so it started out with trail rides.
Good.
And then in the early, mid-1970s, they started running their own horsemanship camps. And that's
nice.
Where Ernie's son-in-law and his daughter, Ruby and Dale Price, came back from Germany. Dale was in the military, and he came back to start running their horsemanship programs.
Ah, okay.
And that's how that started. And they started out as just 2 or 3 day camps, and then it went to 4 day camps, and then it eventually went to six day camps. And right now we have five day horsemanship camps.
Well, the nice thing I remember is that it does. You walk through how to approach a horse, mm-hmm. how to, you know, brush a horse, how to take care of a horse, all the way how to saddle a horse, how to ride a horse. All of that is done in that time frame. And how to even muck the stable, right?
Mm-hmm.
How to get
yep.
everything about a horse you learn. And it was hard work. The week that I went, I don't know, it might have been in August because it doesn't get real hot around here, mm-hmm. but I know it was scorching hot. I think it was in the 90s. And,
mm-hmm.
and for around here, that's hot, you know? And it was a really good, valuable lesson in hard work. And do you know other than babysitting, my very first job, do you know what that was?
Mm-hmm.
Mucking horse stables.
Oh, wow.
Before I could turn 16 for a whole year, I worked for a horse trainer. So
okay.
it was valuable life skills mm-hmm. for me because I knew what I was doing because I had been to camp.
Yep.
And so when you talk about fundraising and finding partners and people are looking for legacy giving. They're looking for mm-hmm. ways. My experience in working a nonprofit, they're looking for things that live beyond themselves. And so I'm sure you have a kind of a donor program or some way that people can get involved, legacy giving, those kinds of things. Now, you don't get any government. You're a 501c3.
Correct.
Do you get any government funds at all?
No, we don't.
No state, no county.
No state, no county.
Federal.
No federal.
It's all self-sustaining.
That's correct.
Under your 501c3 as a faith-based organization.
Right. And we're a non-denominational camp.
Okay.
So we don't have any denomination behind us. We're just
okay.
a small independent ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And so we truly are dependent upon the Lord's people to support us and help us reach these children. And just because of testimonies like yours, this is why we keep doing it. When we see the effect that a verse-by-verse Bible study, letting the kids, and I think one of the reasons we do this is we want the kids to realize that, hey, I can read this book and understand it on my own.
Right.
So that it's just not a week of camp. It's like they can continue reading and finding out more about God on their own.
Right. And the interesting thing is he meets them there.
Yeah, exactly.
I can testify to that. And the interesting thing about what I love about the camping program in general, camping in general, and having your grandkids, sending if you're a grandma and grandpa, and you want your kids to have a break and get away from the social media and all the mm-hmm. stuff that's screaming at them every single day, send them to a camp. Send them to a camp like Canyon View. It's close. It's a little out of the way, but close enough mm-hmm. if there's anything that happens during the week. And camping, you have an opportunity to work with these kids and get all the noise out of their life and help them discover who they are mm-hmm. and whose they are and allow them to work through some of those things. And sometimes my experience has been as a camp counselor and stuff, sometimes things come out. It's not always an easy camping experience if you're a counselor and thing. Life issues happen. What kind of training do you have for your staff and counselors to deal with? Because there's so many things kids are going through these days.
Yeah, we have all of our staff have to have a minimum of a week's training.
Mm-hmm.
We have a training week that we have for all of our staff. One of the things before they do, we also have a child protection plan
mm-hmm.
That we're very keen on, and we have them all have to go through that and pass a course
mm-hmm.
Online to do that. And so that's all one of the requirements. And we do with training, with the training on how to lead the different activities. Our horsemanship program, our riding instructors, our Certified Horsemanship Association trained, which validates the level of horsemanship they're able to teach mm-hmm. to children. And so we make sure we have all of them well trained and the things they need to look out for as they deal with the kids, and just so we have a fun, safe environment for the kids to learn and to grow in their life.
And it is interesting, and I know you have many other camps, and we're focusing on the horse camp particularly because mm-hmm. that ministered to me so mm-hmm. much. But in all of your camping, whether it be the fun, the zip lining and the high mm-hmm. adventure, to the horse camp, mm-hmm. to the family camps, or church rents out your facility mm-hmm. for the week, the whole premise is allowing people to find themselves and find their Creator, and allowing them to connect in a deeper way. Because even today as adults, we're thinking about this COVID-19, right? Mm-hmm. And we're so busy, and we're this, and we got to do this, and we got to take kids to soccer, and we've got to, you know, and we're just running crazy and trying to catch our breath in the meantime, and going through a lot of drive-through restaurants because we can't have time to prepare at mm-hmm. home. That is all stopped. John, who would have thought, since 9/11, I've never seen anything like this, where mm-hmm. everything was disrupted and kind of pushed the pause. And yep. it's been here in Oregon, it has been a long time. We were yes. like one of the first states, right? And so there's an opportunity now, in a sense, in our own home, we're retreating, right? We're rethinking. Mm-hmm. We have an opportunity to rethink about how we're doing this, how we're eating, how we're taking mm-hmm. care of our health. My challenge to our listeners and to my friends out there is to rethink not only about your mental health, mm-hmm. about your work history, about your physical health and what you're eating and putting in your body, but what are you doing spiritually? What are you doing to nourish that spiritual side of you that it has a longing? You know, I encourage you. So many people, John, in my life are so turned off by church, and you as a pastor can yep. speak to this. They're turned off. They've been burned. They've been hurt. I don't need that. Thank you. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about why it's an important element of our day-to-day life. Okay? All right. You're listening to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio, news that you can use together on this Tuesday. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
It's a good morning.
Wake up to a brand new day.
This morning.
I'm stepping on my way.
Good morning.
Good morning, Salem. And Silverton, Turner, Monmouth, Independence. Arkansas, South Dakota, wherever you are today, thank you for tuning in. You may be tuning in online, kslm.news. So glad to have you along on this Tuesday, hanging out with John Walker. He's the new director at Canyon View Camp, and he's also a pastor right here in Salem. And we talked about the camp being non-denominational, and we talked about how the camp is laid out to help kids see and discover their Creator and how they're created. And I love the psalm that talks about that. In Psalm 139, it says that that God knew us in our mother's womb, that He created us. He knows us full well. And it's a powerful scripture that says, you know what, we aren't just here, we're not a blob of tissue just here, you know, getting through life. There is a bigger design and a bigger purpose. And what I love about Canyon View is it gives the kids an opportunity, a context to put that all in. And it did for me, and it impacted my life here almost 51 years later, still through the bumps and bruises of life, the ups and downs and the turns and twists. I will say and continue to say that God is faithful, and that I am not perfect, and I never claim to be. And God has His mercy and His grace is amazing in my life, and I'm thankful for it. And I know that all of us sometimes think that, especially if we've been hurt, and I have had seasons in my life where I've been hurt by religion, mm-hmm. and I've been hurt by things that people thought were godly, which weren't. And we may have listeners that are like, you know, I don't want anything to do with church. I don't need that. You know, it's not a part. It's not important. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, with your teaching and your background, and you've taught Greek, you know, you've gotten to the roots of the roots mm-hmm. of the scriptures and what's important. Why is it so important to assemble and have that fellowship and that worship experience as a part of our spiritual being?
Well, God, you know, kind of, you go back to the beginning, why did God create man?
Mm-hmm.
To have fellowship with Him. And so part of that, the fellowship is just as God wanted fellowship with man, man needs fellowship with man.
Mm-hmm.
We need to encourage one another. And it feeds, I believe a man has three parts. We have a physical part, we have a soul, or just our basic life that we have, and then we also have a spiritual side.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a spirit within us. And so I think that spiritual man needs to connect with other spiritual men and women,
mm-hmm.
and to encourage one another in our daily lives, because the world around us is often going in a different way. And, you know, you say, well, people can be hurt by faith. Well, people can be hurt out of faith.
That's true.
In just their everyday work. You know, mm-hmm. they get, maybe they have a boss that's a jerk, or maybe they have a coworker who's a jerk, and they don't like that person, and for whatever reason, that rubs them the wrong way. You know, we don't all get along with one another,
mm-hmm.
and that's just the way life is. But we're, as you know, the Bible says, we're to be at peace with all men if possible.
Right.
And so we try to get along with everyone, and I think in church, I think that's a thing that I really enjoy about my church. All the people are very friendly, and we care about one another and keep in contact. I've been, you know, every other week I contact everybody to make sure they're doing fine, everyone's okay, and everyone knows they can contact me at any time
mm-hmm.
if they need anything to help out during this time when we're all kind of separated and not being able to see one another. And because we're just all really close, and we enjoy our fellowship with one another.
Well, and I think you totally have hit it, because this COVID has shown us, and this shutdown has showed us how important community is. Yes. And in 2013, I had an opportunity to travel with Answer the Call International and do some work in India.
Mm-hmm.
And I really saw in India, the southern part of India there, with the outreach there and the Christian outreach there, church, I think, is how it was designed, like maybe church like an Acts in the Bible, where you are ministering to those that are in need around you in your community, people that don't believe the same. This pastor and his wife and his family would reach to the lepers and the widows. And in India, there's that caste system, right? So the Christians and the lepers and the widows and the orphans are down at the bottom, the forgotten, and there's no resources for them. And so the Christians have stepped up, and the pastors have given their lives to the Lord there. And so what they do is they share the gospel, mm-hmm. they equip and train, and they send them out. And they baptize them as well. And it's just that turnaround. It's not about big fluffy programs, mm-hmm. you know, and buildings. It's about being the church and being together. And they would worship on Sunday, but they would provide food. Mm-hmm. They were the social center, healthy water, all of that. Mm-hmm. And it shook me up back in 2013. I'm like, a community is where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important in this COVID-19 and the fear. People are driven by fear. They're thinking about death. and that maybe they won't live forever. And some people are searching right now, and they're wanting some answers, and they want help. And so I encourage you, if you haven't been involved or plugged into church, look into that. And there's many churches doing services online right now.
Yes, correct.
That's been interesting. What do you know about that?
Well, what we're doing is I'm recording my sermon that I would normally have on a Sunday morning, and I'm putting it on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
And so if you type in Salem Bible Church, John Walker, you hopefully will find mine.
Okay.
If you're interested in that, I'm considered a very low-key kind of guy when I teach, and so it's you're not going to get necessarily fire and brimstone, but you're going to get the Word of God, and you're going to get it in context. And the reason we do like teaching verse by verse is so that people can see, oh, does this guy know what he's talking about, or is he just putting something in there that's not there? And so it keeps you honest.
Yes.
And it's not like you're trying to pull the wool over someone's eyes. It's you can read it for yourself. You can see it for yourself. And that's the main thing, because it's like, I don't want you to live on my faith. I want you to live on your own faith. Because if ever I mess up or I do something that's going to disappoint you, then you're going to say, I don't want to put your faith in me. I want you to put your faith in God.
That's right, because we will disappoint. We're humans.
Amen.
Right? And my pastor for years and years back in South Dakota was saying, hey, my job is to read the menu. Yours is to get in and eat on your own, you know, and find out what area you want to dive into. And I think that's a great context, you know, that yes, you need to be introduced to the Bible and how and the facts and go verse by verse, but go back in and study it and discover that there. And I love some of the newer contemporary Bibles will have scriptures based on like your emotion even and different things. And that's all well and fine because there's an answer. Even there's 365 verses to address fear, right, in the Bible. So every day of the year, in a sense, if you're in fear, you have something to address that. But the reality is we need to read it in context. We need to read it. And something that I've done in my life, I like to listen to the Bible. And I downloaded an app called the YouVersion. And I like to listen to it in context, have it read to me. And I always have a fun little solution. If people can't sleep at night, play their little Bible app, have it read to you. You'll go to sleep really fast. It's funny how that happens, you know. So your camp is going to gear up, Lord willing, if this COVID thing kind of gets to rest and we can reopen in June, right?
That is correct.
How do people find you online? Can you tell me a little bit about your website and how they connect with you?
Yeah, website is www.canyonviewministries.org, canyonviewministries.org. And that has, we just links to all of our different camps and the costs and the different day camps we run and the churches we work with. And so on day camp, if you want to go to day camp and send your kid to that, you want to reach out to the church, and then they will give you the registration information.
And discount by May 1st, right?
For our horsemanship camps, yes. If you register by May 1st, you have a $50 discount.
Fantastic. Thank you, John, for joining me. Have a blessed day. You're listening to KSLM News Talk Radio, news that you can use. My friend, no matter what's in front of you, over, around, under, or through, you are an overcomer. Have a wonderful Tuesday, and we'll talk to you, Lord willing, tomorrow morning.